Well, I pray that you are off to a wonderful holiday weekend. We are starting a brand new series today entitled Abandoning Religion. Yes, Abandoning Religion. Now, I know what you're probably thinking, like, what in the world is he talking about? I'm gonna let the cat out the bag. This walk that we have with the Lord is greater than religion. It's about relationship, but sometimes tradition seems to get in the way. And today I'm going to play for you a message that we recorded at our Atlanta campus. And I want you to listen to what the Spirit of God was speaking to us back last November about how we need to leave traditions that aren't making anything happen. And we need to embrace a real relationship with the Lord. So go ahead. I'll be in the chats with you. Let's enjoy this message. And I'll be back at the end to let you all know about some exciting things happening at the Outlet Community Church. Some more honesty hour I want to give to you all. I want to give you a little secret about dating Ashley. Ashley and I dated for 4 years, and we broke up 7 times. Let me explain. I did the first 3. She did the last 4. I know what you're thinking. What's wrong with her, right? But when I go back and own my part, of the first 3 times we broke up, it was because I kept playing games. I know none of you all have ever played games, but I was playing games. It came from dysfunctional relationships that I had prior to meeting Ashley, and I sensed that something we had was special, but I was too scared to actually embrace what I was sensing was happening, so I tried to play all of these games in order to see if she was really down for me. The only thing about Ashley is that Ashley's a real one and she ain't play games back. And so the things that I was trying to get her to say is like, and the first time I broke up by text message. I know, put your rocks down. I broke up by text message and I said the infamous, hey, it's not you, it's, let's not. And I thought that in return, she would say, oh my gosh, you're breaking up with me. I'd just come back. You're the best thing ever. And the only thing she said was bye. The laughter, y'all. This ain't no women's empowerment seminar. Like, I'm trying to tell y'all a real life story here. Side note. This is a great side note because, you know, I was the college athlete and, you know, I was feeling myself, you know, a little arrogant, a little pride. And, you know, like I felt like it was a privilege for her to be with me. And one thing Ash did from the beginning, she taught me how to treat her. She taught me what I needed to do, which meant that the games I was playing, well, because of the dysfunctional relationship, I told myself I couldn't put all my eggs in one basket. I couldn't just talk to one person, not in a cheating kind of way, but in a backup plan kind of way. You know, the one what you doing text away from hanging out again kind of way. And I realized that if my relationship was ever going to go to the next level with Ashley, that meant that I had to start getting rid of contingency plans. And so what we see with Moses talking to, giving us his reflection on the times that he spent moments longer than he needed to be, he realized that he dealt with as a culture an area of rebellion. Rebellion is the human nature part of us that says, I have a better way to do this. I have a backup plan. God, I hear your plan, but I have a backup plan. And what goes on in the book of Deuteronomy is a bunch of repetition, because a rebellious heart can only be changed by repetitious love. And so God had to constantly remind his people that I'm with you, that I'm for you, that I'm calling you to do more, I'm calling you to go further, I'm calling you to be greater, because they had a hard time accepting God wanted to do that for them. And I began to think about in our lives,
If we're being honest, there have been some gentle nudges on the inside of our heart that at the top of this year we said we were going to do. At this point of the year, we're like 2020. But he keeps bringing back up to us what he's asking us to do, but it's going to require us to get rid of our contingency plans. Genesis chapter 12, you all can turn there if you want. We can just quote it, 12 verse 1. We see that God every so often comes to us to say, hey, it's time to get moving again. Hey, I want you to pick this back up off the shelf. Hey, I've got something else for you to do. Because I'm not going to shade Moses and the people of Israel. Mount Sinai was a very special place. In Exodus, I believe, chapter 3, that was the burning bush where God first showed Moses that I'm here for you. I have a plan for your life. We later see in Exodus 32 that same place of Mount Sinai was the same place that the Lord showed himself to Moses again and gave him what we now know as the Ten Commandments. These were pivotal moments in his life. But he didn't want him to camp in the pivotal moments of his life. And so every so often the Lord nudges us that it's time for you to believe again. So he came to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 and said, Abraham, I want you to leave your home of origin. I want you to leave your father and your mother. And I want you to go somewhere that I am going to show you. You see, God sometimes has to move us from the comforts of the home of origin. I think about David. When Saul was trying to kill him, and he said, hey, I need you to leave, or you're not going to be here. I think of the Lord when he was talking to Jonah. If you read the entire book of Jonah, you will see that the Lord needed him to move because there were others who needed the gift that was on the inside of him that he was trying to run from. When I think of Joseph, the stand-in father for Jesus here on the earth, when the Lord came to him to say, it's time for you to get up and to go to Egypt because Herod is coming to kill the Savior of the world. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. When I synthesize all of that, I come to discover when the Lord nudges us about moving forward, it's for our promotion, our protection, and our provision. When the Lord nudges us about moving forward, it's for our promotion, it's for our protection, and it's for our provision. I want us to go back to Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. Exodus 33, verse 12. And as we deal with Exodus 33 and verse 12, I want you all to see what God has promised to us as he's nudging us to move forward. He says, one day Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me who you're going to send with me. How many of y'all felt like, Lord, you are sending me on a journey, and how? You've told me I know you by name, and I look favorably upon you. How many of y'all get tired of them scriptures? Like, you know, you're blessed. You know, it's going to be great on the other side. You know, all you got to do is just persevere. You know, joy does come in the morning. Who else like me gets tired of these scriptures and colloquialisms? Like, I know, but it's tough. That's what Moses is having a real moment. Don't tell me I'm favored. Don't tell me I'm blessed. Don't tell me if I shout right now, the next 10 seconds, heaven will open up a blessing. I ain't got room to receive it. And if I'm the seventh person to give $7,000, then I'm going to have 7 days of finance. Don't tell me none of that foolishness. Lord, how do I know you're not going to leave me out here to dry? Verse 13, if it's true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people. And as I read this, the Lord said, not only was I replying to Moses, I'm replying to you in verse 14. The Lord is telling you today, I will personally go with you and I will give you rest and everything will be fine for you. I want you to substitute Moses' name and I want you to put your name, and on the count of three, we're going to read this together. It says, the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Vince, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. That was excellent 5% participation. I am so excited of the great opportunity we have to read together. So, where it says Moses, I didn't count to three. That's my Jackson State education right there for you. I'm sorry, y'all. Sorry, Will. My bad. I'm excited. I got a punchline I'm trying to get to, so I got to set you up. You know, I got somewhere I got to get. All right, so on the count of three, go substitute your name. We're going to read it together. One, two, three. The Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Vince, and I will give you rest. Everything, something's going to be all right for you. A little bit's going to be all right for you. In the sweet by and by, when it's all over, he said what?
Everything.
Right now. But the way he's going to do it is by giving you rest. Let's drop down to Exodus 34. In verse 10. And I didn't put it in the notes there, so you're going to have to look on in your Bible. Exodus 34 and 10. The Lord replied, listen. I'm making a covenant with you in the presence of all your people. But here's the next thing the Lord said concerning your life. The Lord said, I will perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people around you will see the power of the Lord, the awesome power I will display for you. Let me read that. Again, he said, I will perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people around you, what I'm learning is no one cares how much I know if what I know doesn't transform their life. What I am learning is God does not want to be a part of our mystical, mythological, or philosophical arguments that we have, but he wants to be a specific answering on time God concerning everything that he's told concerning our lives. Meaning, he doesn't want you to have to search for a scripture to see that he's good. He wants you to remember in your life that he's been good. So what we have right here is the difference between an altar and an idol. You see, in those moments when God was good to them, he instructed them to make an altar as a memorial that he was faithful. His method of operation, God's method of operation in our life, is that he is more interested in proving his faithfulness than he is getting you to believe in him. That was a little heavy. I'm going to say it again. His method of operation, God's method of operation, is to prove his faithfulness before he wants you to believe in him. You want me to prove that? Jesus. How long did he say he was sending his only begotten son to die for the world? What is the condition of us being born again, accepting his son, Jesus? So we could not believe in God if he had no character to back up what he was asking us to believe in. It's more about God being faithful than it is you having enough faith. The weight of your trust is not in your performance. It's not in your building up. It's not in you reading scripture after scripture. It's all about, do you believe that the very God who is able to save your life? Come on, we sometimes get a little bit of amnesia. How I know he saved your life? You in church on Sunday. There was a time in your life that you wouldn't be sitting where you're sitting right now. And so what you have in your life is what I call altars, where you can go back and to see signposts that, God, you've been good to me in this life. God, you've been there for me when no one else was there for me. God, you were faithful to me when I didn't deserve you to be faithful to me. God, you looked out for me when I wasn't even praying to you. God is trying to say, I want you to think back about all those different moments in your life to consider the altar of my faithfulness to you, because that is the basis of all I'm asking for you to do in moving forward. Meaning, if I hadn't let you down yet, and it takes somebody who has been in one of those, Lord, if you don't, type of moments. Now, y'all are acting a tad bit more reserved, but for those of us in here who could just think in the, Lord, if you don't, Lord, I can't see beyond the next day type moment, but I made it past that day in my life. And he's saying, if you could just trust that I'm still that same God that brought you out of that, then I'm going to move you forward straight from this. But instead of creating altars, we've created idols. You see, an idol worships the memory of what used to be, of what happened to us on the negative side, the trauma that we've suffered, the hurts that we've experienced, the disappointments that have come to us, the situations, the people, the family that has let us down, the job that let us go. We create idols to that because we begin to worship the memory of that and say, God, I hear what you're saying, but I place the memory of what happened above what you said. So an idol worships the memory. An altar uses the memory to worship the creator. It says, I know I experienced the hurt. I know what happened to me. I know I shouldn't have made it. But God, I thank you even in that, that you were still good. The times that you healed my body, the times that you saved my family, the times that you made ways for me in ways I didn't even know and I couldn't imagine. And so when I think about the negative, I can only see the good that God has been in my life. He said, I need you to move past your idol. I need you to stop worshiping what happened. That is not a badge. Because when you worship it, it becomes the moment for you. And it happened years ago, but you talk about it like it happened yesterday. But when I replace the idol with an altar, I begin to worship God. Because he's already brought me out of everything that I'm currently facing right now. So it already feels as though I'm no longer a part of this. And I'm able to shift my perspective to who God is and not what my mind said he used to be. So he's like, you've been here too long. You've used that excuse too long. We have to accept responsibility. Even if it wasn't your fault, it is your responsibility to see the goodness of God in the worst of situations. An idol is like one of my dearest friends in the whole wide world. He loves talking about our yesteryears. In fact, not too long ago, and I love him. If he's listening, I love you, man, but I'm about to bust you out right now. Not too long ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, we were sitting on my sofa. My wife was sitting next to me, and he's my best friend in all the world. But he's known me my whole life. You know, we got the best friends that we're just so happy about right now. We know each other for like, you know, 6 months, but that's my best friend. You know, but then there's some friends who, like, if they really told the truth at your wedding, them friends. He's one of them friends. And I'm sitting on the sofa. My wife is sitting next to me. He's sitting across from me, and he says, and I quote, Vince, you remember when you were in love with such and such? I don't know what you're talking about. You're in love. I never seen love except. Remember you were in love with such and such? Like, yeah, man. Was you, remember how, I mean, it was like y'all were just like, I mean, man, when I saw y'all, I was thinking, I'm like. Follow-up question. You think she was the one that got away? No, I don't. Not at all. No. Not at, no. Idols have you questioning what used to be for what God is currently doing in your life today. And so I had to respectfully tell him, hey, man, you know, that was sixth grade. And in sixth grade, I probably loved a lot of people. But as a grown man, Ashley, that's it. Turn me to Philippians chapter 3. So let's talk about moving forward. Let's talk about moving forward. Moving forward. Philippians chapter 3. How do we move forward? You can't believe that you've already experienced your best life. That's the first step. You can't think that this is as good as it's ever gonna get. You can't. I know you had some good years, but they were just an indication of the great years and moments that you're preparing yourself to walk in. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it as garbage. King James says, do. If we ain't talking about what God is desiring to bring out of me in this, then we don't need to harp on it. Let me just give some life wisdom lessons. No matter what happens, sit back from it and say, God, what are you trying to show me about your character in this? And it will keep your heart from getting bitter. It will keep you from playing the... It will keep you from playing the victim. Because it's easier to gain sympathy than it is to earn respect. If Christ lives in you, in the words of the blessed psalmist Cardi B, you gonna do what to who? Let's find out and see. Like, just had to. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. There's an inner ratchet preacher man living on the inside of me looking for expression whenever he can. Come on now. You got too much favor to sink. What? You got too much wisdom to be made a fool of. What? Why will you play yourself lower than what you were created? Why? I just have been gifted with this notion by God that if I had to get planted in a desert somewhere, he is going to find the best camels to bring everything I need to be successful. Meaning, no matter where you put me, I'm gonna be who God created me to be. No matter what you say about me, I'm gonna be what God created me to be. And just like the chair you're sitting in, no matter what room it's in, the chair gonna be a chair. But if I was made in the image and likeness of God, then no matter what happens, I'm gonna do life the way God does life. And in him there is no lack. In him there is no sorrow. In him there is no lost time. In him is every single thing you need. So I'm just gonna pass this mindset on to you that I understand things were great before, but you haven't seen nothing for what God desires to do in your life right now. The text that we read came from Moses, and Moses had to turn away from God and just had to see the backside of God, and all of these things we're reading about happened to him. But the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, you have a better agreement made on better promises. This church was built on 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Instead of having God to pass by us, it says you can look at God face to face in his word. His word is a mirror. Every time you look at a scripture, it's a mirror to show you who you should be, what you should have, what you should do, how life should go, where you should be. God is trying to get that to us if we would just accept it. I can't explain what happened to me this week, but I am tired of playing God weak. I'm tired of playing short. I'm tired of being ashamed that God has been too good. I was ashamed of his public displays of affection. Y'all, the last 2 years of my life, I can't explain them to anybody, but I was trying to hide because I was worried about what they would think, what they would say. They, listen, they ain't paying that damn one of your bills. And what God wants to do through you is greater than anything that you've ever had in your life. So if you're with, I just need maybe just two people, because it says where two or three are gathered. If I have two people who are not ashamed of what God wants to birth through you, what he wants to do through you, in your life, in your family, in your business. I experience people who are hurting, who are wondering, is God real? And the longer we stay quiet, the longer they have questions. But we've got to mobilize as a community that says, let God be true and everything else be a lie. And go wholly after everything that he put in your heart to do. I finally embraced that this is bigger than just little old me. But if we won't do it, he will raise a rock in our place. If you could just sit back for a moment and see what's happening in the world. I said, Lord, why are you giving me all these prophetic words? And man, I don't do it. He said, I need somebody who is just going to be honest with the people and tell them what time it is. So what you're seeing in the earth is the ushering in of the return of Christ. The religious people thought that it was going to be them because they studied. They memorized all the rules. They had the right methods. But then there came a revolutionary by the name of Jesus Christ who picked to start 12 people who had no prior religious experience. And the only thing he said is just follow me. He didn't ask those fishermen to change their lives, give up their habits, quote all these different scriptures. He said, just follow me, and I'm going to use what you're good at to reach things that I was sent to reach. You're gifted authentically for a reason. Your brain works the way it does for a reason. God wants to use what you're good at to reach the very things that he's loved. And because the church has spent all its time fighting with itself, he said, I'm gonna raise up people you wouldn't even imagine and pour my spirit out on them. And they're gonna help me bring in a harvest of souls. And so if you could just take a moment and take a step back and see what's going on in the earth. The days of the quote-unquote evangelist that knocked on door to door and saying, if you die today, where are you going? That day is over. But people want somebody they can believe in. So for the majority of us to start, it's someone we can all universally say, I got respect for. But if you want transformation to happen, it comes through your relational capital. Can I really trust you? I might respect X, Y, and Z, but I trust someone I know. And that is where we come in. We are going to see people return, but they're not looking for their grandparents' church. But that doesn't mean you throw away the Bible. You keep the Bible, you get rid of the crap. Excuse my language, sorry. You believe that Bible. You live that Bible. You walk out that Bible. You express that Bible. And what we're seeing is a hunger for God to be God in our lives. Can we stand?
What I want to do right now is I want to pray for you as we've been talking about, I've been here too long. There may be some of you out there who feel like I've been in the same situation too long. I've been in the same type of environment. I've been surrounded by the same type of pressures, and I'm ready to get free and break free from that. Well, I want to pray with you right now. If you're out there today and you're like, Vince, you know, I heard what you were saying today, and I have been making an idol out of what has happened to me instead of an altar to remind myself about the goodness of God, and it has caused me to be stuck. Well, you don't have to be stuck anymore. Let's pray and agree together. And I want to follow up with you so that as every day that goes by, we're able to take steps together. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for just the word that has gone forth. I thank you for my dear brothers and sisters on the other end of the sound of my voice. Father, your spirit knows no distance. And I thank you that right now, in this moment, in this time, you are meeting them. You are there for them. Whatever questions that they have, God, you are answering those in this time. Oh, we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's some information that's already come on the screen, which is our personal number here at the church, where it lets us know if you prayed with us. We'd love to know so that we can follow up with you and know how we can come alongside you this week. That number is 770-667-4899. Again, it's 770-667-4899. Well, this is an amazing month at the Outlet. I believe that the second half of this year is going to be the best half of this year for not only us as a church family, but you and your family. And so I want you to remain plugged into all that we have going on. While we're preparing our hearts to receive today's offering, I want to let you know about the amazing job that you've done in partnership with 100 Million Steps. Collectively, we have all come together as the body of Christ to raise over $86,000 in 2 weeks. Come on, give yourself a round of applause. That is amazing. That is above and beyond our general tithes and offering that we all came together to say, not only are we the church that we're marching, we're praying, but we're also going to send resources to organizations who are on the front line. And I want to thank you for your generosity. I want to thank you for your support. But I also want to let you know that we're not done being a blessing in our community. So we're going to take this weekend to just praise God for all that he's done. But just know, next week I'm going to be coming back to you to let you know what our plans are to be a blessing during back to school time in the climate that we're in. So there's some information that's coming up on the screen. That's simply two ways to give here at the Outlet Community. You can give online, theoutletcommunity.com/give, or by text. You can text the number 73256 and the letters TOC and complete the gift. I want to thank you in advance for your generosity. Again, without it, we could not be reaching the entire world with the gospel of grace. So thank you, thank you, thank you. As a reminder, we will not have e-groups after service on today, nor will we have men's or women's prayer on tomorrow, but we'll be back on next weekend with Recharge on Saturday and Recharge on Sunday, as well as our e-groups. Y'all, I am just ecstatic for what God wants to do. And my prayer is that this is the beginning of your best week yet. God bless, and we'll see you next time.